Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We're not just live. We are live from the Niagara Falls Country Club for the Sabres Alumni Tournament. Happy Monday. Woo, it's getting close to fall. And yet, today is the start of probably a really, really hot summer week. But it's hard. I'm already in fall mode because we're real close to the start of football. And this may or may not be our final Monday show of the year.
It is the final Monday show of the year until many, many months
hopefully from now. Late February.
Exactly.
Like late February.
Mondays are Buffalo football Mondays. So we're going to take Mondays off now, go Tuesday to Friday starting next week. But we wanted to kind of leave Mondays behind us with a bang. So we are here at the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament. And I got to tell you, did not expect what happened this morning to happen to me. So, Mr. the great Scotty Bowman, who we hung out last night with some of the alumni and hung out again this morning. He showed up. Everybody wants to talk to Scotty. We're having a good time. And Scotty walks up to me and JP Dumont, and he goes, Marty, you know, yesterday when we were at that restaurant, somebody asked me, hey, how was it like coaching against Marty when he was playing? And he goes, I don't know. I never seen him in that. He never played against us. And I'm like, this is probably the world's greatest burn coming from Scotty Bowman, which he's not wrong, because early in my career when he was in Detroit, I never played against him. And then, you know, after that, well, he retired and that was it.
So, now, you're self-deprecating enough that you would have shared the story, but you had no choice now to get in front of it, because the fact that JP, of all people, witnessed it. Everybody was going to learn of this moment. So.
Mr. Bowman always has great things to talk about, and his memory of the players, right? I'll talk to JP. I remember seeing you in juniors, and I remember when you broke in Chicago and then Buffalo and Nashville. He knows everything. He goes, Marty, I don't know, never saw him play. So I know it's a lie, but it's just funny coming from him. And it's great to see him. Obviously, he looks fantastic. Which is great to see him and many others. We have over 60 Sabres alumni here on hand. Not all of them are golfing, but most of them are. So many alumni here present that most of the groups have two alumni per group.
Yeah.
I'm with Darren Pupa in my group. I'm filling in for you, Mr. Duff, because that's your group from last year.
Yes, so, it was so fun. Now, I don't recall which hole it is, whether it's like 17 or 8. It runs along the road. It's a short par 3.
Yes.
Tell Poops to keep it out of the tennis court.
Oh. Well, Poops started really well this morning. We played a hole. We were already minus 1, a birdie on a par 5. It was great. We went driver off the deck in, on our second shot.
And, nice.
It was fantastic. So we got a good start. Always love. Poop has got long pants and long sleeves on. He lives in Tampa all year.
Why are you judging?
I know you have as well, but you're always cold. But him, he's like, I'm hot all summer. And then he comes in, it's beautiful. And he's got long pants, long sleeve. But so many alumni, right? I mean, great guys to see that we don't see often. You know who was coming over to me last night and again today is King Kong Korab.
Oh,
and he goes, hey, he goes, remember the interview we did years ago? He goes, that worked out really well. He's like, whenever you need me, I'm ready to go. And then he kept asking me, where's the camera? He's looking for the camera. So
he's never not looked for. It's amazing.
He looks great,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God. Well, there's honestly, I think last year at this time, we were boasting, for lack of a better word, about more than 50 alumni. And if it wasn't at this event, it was one of the other ones on the calendar. And so the fact that you're being, you know, in that 60 range, it's really impressive. And then even beyond that, I've heard of how many others are staying connected with Scotty McManigal and the Alumni Association, and the opportunity for well beyond that number to still have a presence at some of our games, involved in the community and other aspects. And you, of course, like Razor, incredibly proud of what this day stands for as far as shaping potentially the lives of a lot of young kids here in Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Absolutely. This golf tournament, all the proceeds for the golf tournament go towards our scholarship program, which started in 1993. And so we're talking about over 30 years of scholarships being handed out. And we are now, this year, with the, I believe we handed out 10 scholarships this year. Mm-hmm. We're now over $1 million of scholarship awarded in the last 30 years. So that's why we love seeing all the people that are here, sponsors and season ticket holders. But more importantly is that we have given up so many different scholarships, and we hear back from some of those guys and families that are like, oh, we got some money from the Buffalo Sabres alumni, and so that's why it's fantastic to see all these players coming back, guys that, you know, some of them are local, and mm-hmm. they're more present at the arena when it comes to, you know, alumni mm-hmm. signings and everything. But some of them aren't. Some of them are coming up from everywhere around the United States and Canada, and it's great to see them as well. So
it's really nice to see Ted Nolan this morning.
He looked good.
He looks good. You know, Kevin McGuire. Yeah. It was really fun. He just...
former coach and referee relationship.
There's
right there.
Just he's one of those guys that just doesn't have to say much to somebody, anybody, and there's just something that makes everyone kind of laugh, yes. and you can just see the playfulness that he has in the eyes, and it's like, oh gosh, where is this going to go?
And what's great is because we do it like on a Monday, late August. Mm-hmm. Usually the Sunday night, we try to get together as an alumni group because some of them are going to leave after the golf today, and we want to just be able to catch up. But a lot of the guys have come in a couple of days earlier because they still have friends and people that they know, they come in for the weekend of golf or visiting friends. Like J.P. Dumont came in on Saturday. Donald Odette came in on Saturday. He went golfing with Dijkstra and the great Bill Wippert, at Brookfield yesterday, I think it was. So they make a weekend out of it, and they come and visit everybody that's here.
Yuri Himalev, really great to see him. Yuri, and, of course, the legendary locals seemingly forever, and we're so grateful, Terry Martin and Don Luce.
Yes.
So we got a on social, Jeff says, make sure Terry doesn't use too many mulligans. I hope he gets to golf with his idol, Don Luce.
Oh. Oh, we'll make sure Terry knows. But Terry always comes up to me, and he's like, this and that, this or that. He always listens to the
show. And their wives, and how monumental, the level of involvement they have had at this event and continue to have. And, of course, in the alumni meeting that preceded all of this, you know, just the impact of the alumni wives and girlfriends and significant others, you know, in running, obviously, the wine festival and events of that nature. And so, anyway.
The amount of goalies that are here, too.
Oh,
you got to say. So, I mean, obviously, I'm here, right? Craig Anderson is here.
Yes.
Came up from Florida.
Young guy.
He's a young guy, so we got to get some young blood in there. We do have, I'm going through the list right now. I don't want to make sure. Tom Draper is here. There's a goalie. Don Edwards is here. Another goalie. I mentioned Darren Pupa is here. Who else is here goaltender-wise? I'm going through the list, but there was I'm going to leave the list aside, but there's a lot of goalies that are here, which is great because the more the merrier when it comes to goaltender.
Perfect segue, because last week, and you weren't always on with me, but we did have a little bit of discussion.
Off.
Yeah. I felt at times as if I might have been putting too much weight on this particular topic. Now, granted, it was mid-August, and there aren't a lot of great rumors and rumblings and speculation.
Yes.
But let me tell you how validated I feel today, and how I felt as soon as the news broke, after we were off air on Friday.
Yaroslav
Askarov and his deal to San Jose.
Yes.
I'm sure people were watching and listening to this show going, who cares about Askarov? And I'm like, well, first of all, there's 32 teams, 64 goalies. The kid's a first rounder. So let's start from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Post-COVID, 2020 draft. There have been five drafts, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. How many goalies that have been drafted since COVID are in or have played in the NHL?
Levi is one.
One.
So Askarov is another.
He's played three games.
Oh, and 2020, so, and we're looking back. I would think maybe there's one or two more.
Nico Daws has played the most. He's played 46.
New Jersey.
Levi Marilainen, two games played with Ottawa.
That's it.
That's four of them. And from the class of 21, three games played Jesper Wallstedt.
Okay, yes.
Nothing in 22, nothing from 23. This is obvious. But we're also not seeing first-rounders. Like, this is a reminder. It's a great reminder of the slow build that it is for goaltenders.
Probably even worse, slower because of COVID and all the slowed-down development that happened there.
I don't have all the historical draft numbers in front of me or in my head. I tend not to retain as much draft history as some other forms of history, but I think it's even Askarov was a rarity, drafted as high as he was. Mm-hmm. But I think because teams typically have an urgency now that if they can, they'll look at a first-round player to get them into the lineup sooner. So in the class of 21, you had Sebastian Kosa and Jesper Wallstedt were first-rounders. In 2022, the first goalie taken was Buffalo's Topias Leinonen.
In the second
at
round.
41st.
Yes.
The next year, Adam Gajan, Slovakian netminder, first goalie taken, 35th by Chicago. You know what his connection is? He was Michael Leone's goalie in Green Bay in the USHL, and he played at the World Juniors, and he's going to be going to the standout program of University of Minnesota Duluth, right? But obviously is a ton of years away, presumably.
He's still many years
away. And then last year in 2024, this past draft, again, no first-round goaltenders, Ilya Nabokov, Colorado, 38th overall. So this is why there's such an emphasis placed on Askarov, his predicament that he sort of created in Nashville. I'm not going to report to Milwaukee, whatever, which we debated, right thing to do, wrong thing to do. Clearly, it was the right thing to do in the sense of if he wanted a change of scenery, because he got it.
Yeah.
Barry Trotz granted it. It seemed like a very logical trade. We talked about the possibilities.
San Jose was a logical place for him to go.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense.
The problem
sense
is there were like seven, and they all could have been really entertaining, and maybe maybe Buffalo should be happy that he is in the West, because I really thought Montreal was going to make a play. Now, I don't know what his future is. We'll get into that later, but isn't it fascinating just how rare he is in the world of first-rounder goalies? And and how big he became, how much interest there was on the market. And then we still have teams of the day to get through late in August here and in September. We're eventually going to get to San Jose. And I think they're a far more interesting team now than what we've seen in recent years.
They obviously are with Celebrini being the first overall. And then they have the draft from last year. And this is why I made San Jose was a really logical place for Askarov. And I didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger because, you know, it's still an unknown. Like, this is not the goalie that is all of a sudden going to stand on his head year one, year two. Like, he's still a few years away from being that number one guy. Mm-hmm. But when I got drafted to the Sabres in the first round offer, the reason the Sabres made the draft, the draft pick of me, is because they had an extra first rounder. They picked Jay McKee, and then they're like, oh, we can pick a goalie now.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose is in that same position.
Right.
We have so much draft capital that we've had acquired in the last few years that now we can trade a draft pick next year to go get a goalie, somebody that maybe will pan out. Look, first-rounder goaltenders usually do, but Askarov's still a question mark. Look, Vasilevsky was a first-rounder. Mm-hmm. Carey Price was a first-rounder. There's very few first-rounders when it comes to goalies now, but you know, some of them, when they do, they end up being really good.
Right, and Calgary was on the list, my list. Chicago was on my list. Montreal was on my list. San Jose was on my list because they all had multiple first-round picks to offer.
Yes.
And it's so, therefore, another reason it was no surprise San Jose makes the deal. It seemed like it was an interesting one with, you know, a first-rounder going back, a couple of prospects move as well. I was a little surprised, but then I was thinking that in any deal, if Nashville was going to take a prospect back, that it would be a blue liner, because I think they need a little bit more depth on the blue line moving forward. However, when I looked at the young Swedish forward Ertström that they got, I'm like, oh, it's actually this kind of fits their profile too. And yeah, it's a very interesting deal.
It turned out really good for Nashville as well, because look, they got UC Saros for the length of the deal. He's still in the prime. I remember, again, I go back to my experience. When I was going through my draft in 95, Lou Lamoriello and the New Jersey Devils went up to my agent. And they said, we want to interview Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And my agent represented Marty Brodeur at the same time. And he's like, I don't think that me fits the New Jersey Devils because Brodeur is going to be there for 12 more years.
Right.
So if you're asking, and I get the whole, we don't want to go to Milwaukee, although I would have said, shut up and work and play and whatever happens. Let your agent take care of that. Like, you don't have to be so public about it. But it makes sense of saying, I want an opportunity somewhere else, because Eustace Soros is going to be the guy for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And even if he's not the guy for all seven, he's going to be the guy for at least 5 years, mm-hmm. which by that point, Askarov is going to be 27. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be like, where's my opportunity? Now I've the window's closed, the door's closed. So it makes sense.
So what is his opportunity this year, given that they have two netminders on expiring contracts in Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood? How many games will Askarov play at the NHL level this year?
So, funny enough, I think Askarov starts in the AHL with Barracuda.
Doesn't have to switch cities.
And
arguably, some would say it's nicer than Milwaukee, but I'm a big Milwaukee guy, so whatever.
It's not the city or the location, it's the league, right? But the difference is, Askarov going to Milwaukee in the AHL because Saros and Wedgwood are in Nashville, mm-hmm. are a complete different situation than starting in San Jose with the Barracuda and having Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood. You know, most teams, 98% of teams use at least three goalies in the season.
Correct.
Potentially even four. Mm-hmm. And neither of those two guys are signed past this year. Mm-hmm. So he has that door open in a year from now. Now, this is where Askarov, you shut up and you work. You show up to camp. And if you're being sent down to the AHL, you keep your nose down and you keep working, because you're going to get called up. Mm-hmm. You're going to get an audition. And that may open the door for next year. Which that door wasn't open in Nashville because of UC Soros. Now, it's a little bit the same way with Devin Levi here.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? You have Reimer and you have Luukkonen.
Remember, Levi's already played 30 games in the NHL.
But the same situation presents itself, is that where you start the season mm-hmm. has no bearing in where you're going to end the season or where you're going to be next year.
Yeah.
If you're Devin Levi. You can start in Rochester and play really well. And at some point, you know you're going to get NHL games. And at some point, the Sabres, depending on where they are in the standings, they may say, like they did with Ryan Miller and many times, like, I was playing, we were in a playoff battle. If I needed a night off, Lindy would say, we're calling the kid up. Mm-hmm. He's playing a game, because they didn't trust Bob Esenza or they didn't trust Mika Nornan, and they just wanted to go that way. Mm-hmm. That's, for me, is the situation that presents itself here in Buffalo. And it's the same situation that presents itself in San Jose. And funny enough, it'd be interesting to get a Sabres alumni, Ryan Miller, on the conversation, because he does work.
He's not here, is he?
No, he's not here.
Okay.
He does do work with the San Jose Sharks and Mike Greer.
I wonder
if that was a Miller, Evgeny Nabokov, like, hey, we need that guy kind of a nudge.
How could it not be?
Well,
right?
They would have to. Mike Greer's not making that move on his own, saying, hey, Millsy, we just traded for Askarov. No, there's that conversation happening before that.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase the question. Who plays more games in the NHL this year, Devin Levi or Yaroslav Askarov?
Oh, I'm sitting on the fence and it hurts right now, because I think
you're on an OB steak.
And, yes, exactly. The white steak. I'm like, you know, flirting with disaster here, but let's just put it that way. I think both of them play under 20 games.
Marty says, under 20 for Levi and Askarov.
Not together, like.
No, coach. I know.
I think Askarov could play 20, and you know, you still have 35 for Vanacek or Blackwood, and 25 for the other guy. There's, you know, there's a even split, 35-30-20 or whatnot.
Man, as much as we try to keep things light here, and we're just, you know, throwing out questions like this, I really do think it's fascinating, and I really would love to know, canvas a whole bunch of hockey executives who have been involved in draft process, and now, whether it's cap management or whatever, right? Like, and have their true opinions as to what they think of Levi's path mm-hmm. in Buffalo and games played, and Askarov's immediate path here. Like, I'm obviously respectful and understanding of everything you're saying here. I just, it's the one thing with Askarov and the whole not going to Milwaukee thing was like, and you say, like, just put your nose down and grind it out. There are so many injuries, and like, whether it, you know, hopefully not, but like if it was Saros or if it was Wedgwood, like all of a sudden the door is wide open. And like, let's be real here about the history of Vanacek and Blackwood.
But also
right?
Nashville would have been a better team to play NHL games than San Jose.
You would think.
Much better.
Yes. So, like, I know Devin Cooley enjoyed his first ever taste of the NHL last year, but when this team was blowing four-goal leads...
He was doing much better. Oh, Sabres Live just went down by us. We just got a little bit of a win. That's all right. We'll get it at the commercial, guys. Don't worry about it. Here's the thing. Devin Cooley did much better in his Rochester Americans pads, and then when he got his San Jose stuff, it kind of just...
What color is he going to wear in Calgary?
I don't know, but this is like, we go back to golf. It's like if you go to the store and you try out that driver, right? And then they say, hey, go take it out for like 3-4 holes and let's see what happens. And it looks good. And then you buy it, and the very next round, it's crap. It's like your ball's going everywhere. It's the same thing. Like, you know, Devin Cooley was probably excited to be in the NHL, get colors, right? The teal and the black and the white.
He was Los Gatos, California.
Exactly.
He was the first, like it was historic that
really
he made the
Sharks. In his first couple of games, and then it just San Jose kind of left him out to dry. But you know what? 20 games, though. Think about it, Duffer. 20 games used to be what you had penciled in for a backup goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
Not a number three. A backup goaltender.
Well, yeah, correct. And that, but the problem is we keep talking. I shouldn't say it's a problem. The reality is we keep talking about threes, right? Three goalies here, three goalies there. Three, like Detroit, for instance. I mentioned the first rounders of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Wahlstedt and Sebastian Kosa. Well, Kosa hasn't played in the NHL yet, but... He had a pretty good year in the AHL.
Like
he went 22-9-9. He got in 9 more playoff games, went 5-4. He got a lot of great experience last year. But how muddy is the path in front of him? Like
for the 1 year, it's very muddy because it is Ville Husso, it is Jack Campbell, it is Cam Talbot, it's Alex Lyon.
Yeah.
But after that, it opens up.
Right.
That's what, as a prospect, you want to see. You want to see the long game, right? When does it open up? And Sebastian Kosa, he's not... you know, fallen off of the depth chart. He's just doing exactly what he needs to do at the American League.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to me, is interesting. But again, we talked about the alumni. I mean, Lindy Ruff is here today, and, you know, everybody's excited, the alumni, to see him back as the coach. But, you know, I even discussed with some fans over the last, you know, bit being in the public, like, oh, what's the first two games in Prague going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, we talked about it on the show, is it going to be two games for Luukkonen?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be you split Luukkonen somebody else, but then after that you come home and the schedule's pretty good once you come home to say, hey, maybe Luukkonen plays the first 7 of the first 8.
Yeah.
And to get going, because that's something Lindy always did. He did it with me as a starter. He did it with Miller as a starter. I mean, with Dom, you just let him play as many games as he wanted. So that's kind of the set the tone to the season that usually Lindy Ruff wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And talking with Don Edwards and Darren Pupa, we were mentioning, do you remember having three goalies regularly being used? And they're like, absolutely not. You played every day. You practice every day. But that, the game has changed now. Completely changed.
Well, I mean, especially in Edwards' case, it was, you know, him and Sauvé. And it really was a platoon system that led to Buffalo's first ever Vezina Trophy win with that tandem. And it was always a competition between those two. And it was hard to tell from 1 year to the next. Sometimes, you know, who was likely to get more games. And then sometimes, you know, case of Bob, you know, he had a great playoff year the 1 year against Montreal. And but it's always fascinating because you've lived it. And I know sometimes I ask you about Ryan and then, you know, you're like, well, I wasn't actually with Ryan like for as long as people think, you know, there were years that you spent in the organization, but it wasn't necessarily as, you know, a duo.
It felt like Ryan was there longer because it was the year before the lockout where he came up, and then there was a lockout year, and then there was the year after the lockout, and then until the trade deadline. So it feels like it was 4 years, but really it was only a year and a half, right? That's
right.
What it was.
But you stepped in when he was unavailable, and it was a career-changing path for you because you showed the league the success that you could have, and that's, you know, what led you to being a number one in the next stop, right?
Yeah.
Like, so
having that conversation with Poops this morning, it was kind of funny because I'm like, tell everybody your first NHL, first game with Buffalo.
He doesn't have to because Dykstra's here, and Dykstra tells everybody about Poops' first game.
And then, you know, we're talking about the 2-0. shut out. Yep. It goes Gretzky had like four breakaways or whatever. And I love the story about how he became all universe because the rivalry between Pupa and Barrasso, well, you know, you could tell it was there. Yep. Like they both wanted to play. Pupa said they lost 7-3 in Calgary the night before, whatever. They played in Edmonton. He won 2-0. And he didn't even play the game in Vancouver. And he didn't play for five more games because Barrasso was the guy. And Barrasso was that headstrong guy that was like, I want to play, I want to play. Especially if his partner had pitched a shutout against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. I always felt like, you know, with Don Edwards and Bob Sauvé that there was that type of competition as well. I would let them you know, talk about just how intense it may have been. They certainly weren't wearing the artwork and the letters on their mask like the battle between Barrasso and Pupa and with Pupa. The AW and AU. Yeah. No, those two stuck to the old, I think, Jofa helmets for the most part, and they looked maybe CCM for Don.
Barrasso called himself All World.
Yeah.
Pupa said he didn't call himself All Universe. The guys, because of Barrasso, started calling Pupa All Universe. So that's the difference there.
Well, it's almost inevitable that we land on goaltending at some point in time in our conversation daily here on Sabres Live, but this time for good reason, because I didn't get to quiz you on Askarov last week on the deal that was San Jose and Nashville. Askarov, Nolan Burke, a 25 third rounder going to San Jose. David Edstrom, Vegas's first round pick in 2025, which is top 10 protected, and Magnus Krona go to the Pred. So we'll see how it plays out. Askarov got a 2-year contract extension from San Jose that kicks in after next season. It's 2 years times $2 million. So again, seems to fit perfectly with where the Sharks are at, and they don't have anything on the books with their current guys next year in Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek. So we will watch with great interest, and whether we get to see products of the 2020 class, Levi and Askarov go head to head at any point this year. That remains to be seen. We are just under a month away from the preseason beginning. And, of course, we're only a few weeks out from FanFest. It is back. It is down at the arena. And it's presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Fun hockey games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It all runs in conjunction with Hockey Fest, which is the street hockey tournament, which is now run right along RJ Way.
Oh, yes.
And I think that'll be special in its own
right. It was fun last year.
That happens Saturday, September 14th at Alumni Plaza. Can't wait to see you all there. Go to Sabres.com for more information on that and come back with us. We are Sabres Live at the Sabres Alumni Golf Outing today at Niagara Falls Country Club.